Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Before I get started, I just wanted to, usually at the beginning of the service is when we welcome those who are first-timers, and in this case, we've got some folks with us that were members of our church many years ago. I don't even know how many years, but it's been a while. Steve and Christy Adams, it's so great to have you here with us today, and it's good to see you again. Today is a joyous feast of the church. And yet, knowing what we know of the events of this week could make us a little bit queasy, or should I say, fearful. What the 12 disciples didn't know on the day Jesus entered Jerusalem with shouts of hosannas, we know that that week will end in a gruesome death on a cross. And his burial. This is the one who came to earth to bring peace on earth. As we reflect on our Lord's path for us in this Holy Week, we see it as a path of grace. Christ took this path from his entrance into Jerusalem to the cross and through the open tomb for our sake and for our salvation. Among those who followed Christ on his path was his disciple, Peter. And today, I want to focus your thoughts on Peter's journey with Christ and how this brash, boastful, and outspoken disciple learned of his need of God's grace to overcome his fears. Peter was often regarded as the lead disciple of the 12. He was the first disciple who was called by our Lord. And he was often the voice of all the disciples. But we should not place Peter on a pedestal. He needed saving just as we all do. And he was the one of the first to actually say so. "Lord, save me," he said. This was the cry that Peter made when he was sinking in the waters of a stormy sea in Galilee. At first, he dared to trust he could walk on the waters even as his Lord did. But his daring faith became diverted from Jesus, and when fixated on the strong winds and the roaring waves, he began to sink. Peter was not only sinking underwater, but sinking in fear. His faith had given way to fear, and this would not be the first or even the last time that his faith would give way to fear. In that regard, he is truly representative of all the other disciples and us. For we also succumb to fear when crises arise. And we are sorely tested beyond our own ability to see or grasp hope in such times. However truly bold and confident Peter may have seemed, his nagging fear would continue to haunt him. And that fear would lead him to sink on more than this one occasion. But Christ's amazing grace comes for the fearful. Even in times of crisis, our Lord Jesus reaches out and catches us, just as he caught Peter sinking beneath the water. This image of our Lord catching Peter is helpful for us as we continue our journey of faith toward death, which our Lord willingly marched forward for us. Well, you know that Peter's journey began when Jesus called him. In Luke's telling of the story, Peter's calling, Jesus encountered him on the shores while he was washing his nets after a disappointing evening of fishing. Peter would receive a grace he certainly didn't expect that day. Jesus said to him, "Put out into deep water and let down your nets for a catch." And I imagine Peter thinking, at least, "Who does this carpenter think he is? telling me how to fish. And while Peter may have accepted and recognized Jesus' authority as a teacher and leader, he probably doubted whether Jesus knew as much as he did about fishing. Nonetheless, he obeyed God's command and threw down the nets. And whoa, what a surprise. They would catch so many fish that the nets were beginning to break. The ships were actually beginning to sink because of the haul of fish. At this point, Peter is awakened to a new and much more humble attitude toward the carpenter of Nazareth. And on his knees in the holy presence of Jesus, in that moment of revelation, Peter cried out, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." I'm sure that Peter, like all the others, was truly amazed at the catch of fish. But the grace of Jesus also opened up a deeper issue in Peter's life, and that is how to deal with fear. He was deeply afraid to be in the presence of Jesus because he now recognized Jesus as the representative of the holiness of God. Indeed, he was right to be afraid. But he didn't yet understand the path that Jesus was taking for him and for us to lead us beyond our fears. When Jesus Christ calls us, he calls us not to be afraid of his love and grace, for it will always be there to catch us. "Do not be afraid," Jesus tells Peter. The Lord's grace had surely taught Peter's heart to fear, and yet grace would also relieve those fears. With fears relieved, Jesus calls him and his fishing companions to a new mission path that they will take with Jesus when he said, "From now on, you will be catching people." When we think of all the sinking in fear that was true for Peter, we might also consider the fact that his name meant rock. And as you well know, rocks tend to sink. But rocks are also foundation stones for buildings. Peter's faith would come to represent the rock on which the church stands, the rock that upholds the very foundation of the church. Taught by the Holy Spirit, Peter would confess, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus would say that this faithful confession of Peter makes it itself a grace given to Peter by the Holy Spirit. The church joins Peter in this confession of faith. It is the foundation stone of the church in its faithful witness to who Jesus is for us and a strength upon which the church is built, such that not even the gates of hell will prevail against it. But this confession also empowers us to grasp the power and the freedom of the gospel to go about loosening the chains that bind all of humanity, and to set people free from their bondage to sin and death. Now, all that sounds really good to Peter, but Jesus also makes clear that the path of grace he follows as our Messiah, our Christ, is one that necessarily leads to a cross and death. And Peter's just not ready to accept that. He rebukes Jesus, but as he does, his rock begins to sink. Jesus calls him a scandalous stumbling block, even refers to him as Satan. Indeed, there is no path into Jerusalem by Jesus as the glorious Messiah without a cross. Christ's grace comes only by way of the passion. This would also be a lesson for Peter to learn when he was with Jesus on the holy mountain, where Jesus was transfigured in all of his glory. You remember that Peter didn't really grasp what that was all about. He was kind of out of his mind, if you will. Jesus appeared with Moses and Elijah, who were talking about his departure from this world. Peter did not yet understand that there's no glory apart from the cross. And overwhelmed by this encounter, he says, "Lord, it's so good to be here. If you wish, I'll make three dwellings for you. One for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." But just at that moment, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And from the cloud came a voice saying, "This is my Son, my beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." And the response, Peter and the other disciples fell to the ground and were totally overcome with fear. But once again, Jesus came to them. He touched them and raised them up, saying again, "Don't be afraid." From their knees looking up, they saw only Jesus. The glory they had witnessed was not there in all of its brilliance, nor were they even able to speak of it until after Jesus was raised from the dead. Only Jesus, you see, takes the path of the cross so that we may forever rise beyond our fears. Well, Peter certainly had more to learn about this grace that comes through the cross of Christ, and that time would come soon enough and in a most dramatic way. In the week of his trial and passion, Jesus would tell his disciples of the dangers that now lay ahead and how they will be scandalized by his pathway of the cross that Jesus must now take, and that they would all flee. But Peter would denounce that danger, boasting that he would follow Jesus even to death and that he would never flee from his side. And he said, "Even though all become deserters, I will not. Even though I must die with you, I will not deny you." And Jesus said to him, "Truly I tell you, this day, this very night, before the cock crows twice, you will deny me three times." And so it was. In the night while Jesus was on trial in the court, that Peter would be found warming himself by the fire in the courtyard below. When a servant girl, the high priest, came by and recognized him as a companion of Jesus, he denied it. "I do not know or understand what you're talking about." He tried to escape the scene and find another place in the courtyard where he wouldn't be so easily noticed. But as he did, just then the cock crowed. The same servant girl who recognized him earlier spotted him again. And she said to the others in the courtyard, "He's one of them." Again, Peter denied it. Finally, one of the other bystanders confronted him, saying, "Certainly you are one of them, for you are a Galilean." At this point, Peter brought down curses on himself and openly swore an oath before them, "I do not know this man you are talking about." And at that moment, the cock crowed for a second time. Peter recognized what he had done. He had done what he boasted he would not do. He had denied his Lord. He had denied any connection between him and Jesus. His fear got the best of him. And in his anguish and anxiety, he fell again to his knees in tears, weeping bitterly for this sinful, scandalous wrong that he said would never come to him. Oh, but dear friends in Christ, Jesus' grace was not finished with Peter. Even in his fearful denial and betrayal of Jesus that severed all bonds of their connection, Jesus would not sever his love and grace for Peter. He would go to the cross for fearful Peter and for all of us. Now, when Jesus was raised from the dead, he would show Peter his wounded hands and his pierced side, calling Peter not to sorrow, but to rejoice in the promise that his grace would never let him go. Jesus, the Messiah, caught and held Peter in his crucified hands. Once again, Jesus would call Peter to catch people in the grace of this promise and to feed others in his healing and forgiving mercy. The journey for Peter, however, would also come by way of his own passion and suffering for the faith. But Peter was emboldened to pick up his cross and follow Jesus because Jesus would never let him go. Peter would testify before all, Christ's amazing grace is that which God now bestows upon all through the power of the Holy Spirit. After Jesus had ascended into heaven on the day of Pentecost in the presence of thousands of people, Peter fearlessly preached, in the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And when Peter was on trial before those who were critical of these proclamations about the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, Peter would again boldly proclaim, "We must obey God rather than any human authority." Peter initially had underestimated the extent of God's love and grace for the nations, but no more. He would come boldly to confess that God's grace in Jesus Christ is a gift for all without limits, without limitations. And later in life, we see him grasping fully through faith that not even the gates of hell would prevail against Christ's grace, and that all shall be set free from sin and death, from fear and abandonment. Writing to the church, I understand that God shows no partiality. Thank God for that. And so in his own writings to all who suffer persecutions in life and who fear anxiety would certainly be present, Peter invites one and all to receive Christ's grace as their solid foundation, saying, come to him, a living stone, though rejected by mortals, yet chosen and precious in God's sight. And like living stones, let yourselves be built into a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So I ask you, what crosses are you bearing today? What fears are you facing? Do not be afraid. Christ has overcome all our fears so that we, his disciples, may face our own fiery trials with confidence that Jesus has called us and caught us in his grace. And as Jesus catches us, so he sends us out to catch others in the sure and certain promise of that amazing grace. We follow our Lord's path to the cross in all humility and in all confidence, trusting that our Lord will lead us through the darkness of all of our trials, beyond our fears, to the final fruits of his grace. So let the words of this faithful yet sinful disciple of Jesus, speak words of assurance and comfort to us all. He writes, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that he may exalt you in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. And after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, support, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen."